You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
KKAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
We're now tuned in to the media ministry of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville, Louisiana, with Dr. Carl Armstead. Mount Olive Baptist Church is located 808 Anacoco Street in Leesville, Louisiana. We are a church and congregation that honors God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. We celebrate his death, resurrection, by which all men are saved. Listen now to our man of God and shepherd, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preaches and teaches the Word of God in a service already in progress.
Anybody want to go to heaven? You know, Jesus said, I am the way.
I got heaven,
yeah.
Heaven
on my mind.
I got heaven,
I got heaven on my mind.
Oh, it
makes me singing all the time.
Singing all the time.
I got heaven on my mind.
Well, that's a walk.
Hello.
That's a talk.
Has a
talk, that's a scene.
Wait, hear me say,
oh, I got heaven.
I got heaven on my mind.
Yeah, I got heaven.
I got heaven on my mind.
Well, I got heaven.
I got heaven on my mind.
I got heaven.
I got heaven.
Well, it keeps me praying all the time.
I've got heaven on my mind.
Well, as I walk,
as I talk,
you can always hear me say,
I've got heaven on my mind.
I got heaven.
I got heaven on my mind.
Look here. As I walk.
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 As I talk.
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 As I sing.
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 As I walk.
As I walk.
As I walk.
As I walk.
You can always hear me say,
I got heaven on my mind.
Yeah, I got
heaven.
Well, I got heaven.
Got heaven on my mind.
I got heaven.
I got heaven on my mind.
Oh, it
keeps me singing all the time.
Singing all the time.
I got heaven on my mind.
Well, I say as I walk.
As I walk.
As I talk,
as I talk,
as I sing,
as I sing,
as I walk,
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 as I talk,
as I talk,
as I talk,
as I talk,
as I sing,
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 as I sing.
You can always hear me say, I got heaven on my mind. I got heaven on my mind. I got heaven on my mind.
Come on, say it with the church.
I got heaven on my mind.
Come on, come on, come on.
I've got heaven on my mind. I've got heaven on my mind.
I've
got heaven on my mind.
I've got heaven on my mind.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
2 hours. Minister of Music and the person of Reverend Coleman.
God bless you, Pastor.
Thank you for walking through my sermon a little bit. Let me know that the Lord know what he want me to say.
Well, all right.
I got a witness before I even stand up.
All right.
Amen. And God has been good to us.
Yes, sir.
We're thankful for all of you, and especially we have visitors. We thank God for your presence and always invite you to come and share with us in our worship experience.
Amen.
Whenever you can find time in your schedule. This morning, it won't be long, we want to call our attention to the 8th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke.
Yes, sir.
Luke chapter number 8. And we want to read verses 22 through 25. Luke chapter number 8, verses 22 through 25. Everybody got to say amen.
Amen.
Anybody need a little more time, say hold on. All right, I heard somebody say hold on. Amen. We going to wake up. All right. In the 8th chapter of Luke, beginning at verse 22, we find these words. Now it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples and said to them, let us cross over to the other side of the lake. And they launched out. But as they sailed, he fell asleep.
Yes, sir.
And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. And they ceased, and there was a calm. But he said to them, where is your faith?
Yes.
And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, who can this be? For he commands even the winds and the waters, and they obey him. And then they sailed into the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite of the Lake of Galilee. But he said unto them, where is your faith?
Yes, sir.
That's the subject this morning.
All right.
Where is your faith?
Yes, sir.
God, our Father, we thank you for another opportunity to stand and preach your word. We ask now that you allow your Holy Spirit to move freely in our midst. Then grant us a fresh anointing of your Spirit. And in that anointing, grant us preaching power. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the praise. It's in the strong and mighty name of Jesus the Christ. Our Lord, we pray and thank you. Amen. Where is your faith? Thank you, Jesus. Let me begin by saying that Jesus encouraged people to have great faith in God. He taught folk to have faith by means of the marvelous words he spoke. He encouraged a greater faith by the marvelous works he performed. He sought to instill faith by the remarkable life he lived. He demonstrated his faith by dying on the cross and thus expressed his confidence in the Father, that raised him to life again. But now the first thing I noticed about this story that we will be preaching from is the use of the word the wind and the rain. Yes, because my brothers and sisters, God knows us collectively as a civilization, and he knows of our striving to control and organize this world. Yes, and yet with all our remarkable technology, the winds and the rains remain outside of our control. Amen. Even now, as we look at the news, we see the devastation of the rainstorms in Texas, and we hear of tornadoes and hurricanes and earthquakes, and there's nothing that we can do to stop them. My brothers and sisters, this enforces the fact that God's world is not under our control, and our powerlessness helps us keep our perspective regarding our relationship with God and our stature in comparison to him. And so the text reveals that Jesus woke up, that the disciples woke Jesus up saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And so the word, "We are about to drown." And I wonder what their purpose was for waking him. Were they just informing him, saying, "Wake up," so that he'd be aware of the fact that they were in danger of drowning? Or were they saying, "We are going to drown, do something, save us"? Now, I've always assumed that the last option that they expected Jesus to save them. But now their reaction at the end of the passage and their amazement of Jesus being able to calm the raging the winds and the waves and call them to obey him make me think perhaps maybe they didn't expect him to save them from the stone. But whatever the case, Jesus didn't use this opportunity to quiz them about the depth of their faith by saying, "I'll do this if you have enough faith." But his rebuke was to the wind and the raging waters, and calm was restored. Yes, now that says to me that God's faithfulness is not dependent upon our faith or our loyalty to him. And so when calm was restored, Jesus asked, "Where is your faith?" And that is the question of the hour in this early 21st century world of hectic activity. Where is your faith? In our academic world of university life, where intellectual pursuits are highly valued, where is your faith? In the constant barrage of world news that seem to emphasize how badly people can treat others, where is your faith? In the everyday world of raising children and helping aging parents, where is your faith? When the car breaks down and when the taxes are due and when somebody cuts you off on the road, where is your faith? My brothers and sisters, God calms our storms and turns to us and he says to us, where is your faith? Is your faith in the power of the world, in the power of the problem that beset us each day? Is your faith in the challenges and the storms of life to overcome us? Where is your faith? My brothers and sisters, God invite each of us this morning to search for that answer. Why? Because today many of us are facing challenging times in our lives. We don't like something that's happening. And there are days when many of us have been broken and bruised. Our hearts have been broken and bruised. But the thought that keeps coming back to me and my own struggles and worries, Rick Coleman, is that God has always been faithful to me, and I have to expect with my logical mind that he will be continue to be faithful to me through all of my difficult times. And that's why Jesus encourages people to have faith in God. By hearing the marvelous words he spoke and by the remarkable life he lived, and then he demonstrated again his faith by dying on a cross, and thus he expressed confidence in the Father that he would raise him to life again. But you know, sad to say, we live in a time that emphasizes faith in oneself. Because in most cases, the emphasis is placed on the importance of material security to the extent that many people trust in their own material resources. Others have put their faith in science for the solution to the problems of life, while still others have put their faith in their common sense and judgment. But my brothers and sisters, people will always experience disappointment when they place their confidence that should be reserved only for God and something less than God. Because I need to tell us that misplaced faith is the besetting sin of all of us. Yet many times we have a tendency to forget God, and then we become overwhelmed with the difficulties and the problems of life because we have put our confidence in material possessions, in military power, or in human ingenuity. My brothers and sisters, I need to tell us that faithlessness was the undoing sin of ancient Israel. Little faith was the sin that plagued the disciples many times and hindered them from being channels of God's power. Yes. And in the same way, faithlessness is what deprived the church today of spiritual power as well as significant achievements. It is the faithlessness that caused the unsaved to remain lost and separated from God's saving grace. Note the Bible says in John 3 and 18 and 36, he says, "He who believes in me is not condemned, but he who does not believe is already condemned." Yeah. Why? Because they have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Then verse 36 says a similar thing. He says, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God." Bottom line, if you're here this morning or listening by way of radio, and you're not saved, the only thing standing in your way is unbelief, a lack of faith. Note the tragic results of misplaced faith or no place faith. First, the Bible says, "But without faith, it's impossible to please God," according to Hebrews 11 and 6. Why? Because without faith, we cannot be saved. Without faith, even the imaginary dangers that darken our pathway will cause us to panic. Without faith, prayer is an undiscovered privilege. Without faith, service to God appears to be an impossible task. And not only that, but misplaced faith grieves the heart of God. It disappoints his love. It questions his power, and it hinders his purpose. And that's why the Bible reveals to us that when Jesus went back to his hometown of Nazareth, he went back home to the place where he was raised, but he was unable to do any mighty works. Why? Because of unbelief and faithlessness. And so the question is, how does one grow their faith? My brothers and sisters, you need to make your little faith a matter of prayer and join in with disciples and pray, "Lord, increase our faith." But now, in reality, we don't increase our faith by prayer, because the Bible says in Romans 10:17, "So then faith come by hearing, and by hearing the word of God." Simply put, no one can have faith without hearing the message about Christ. In other words, faith increases by hearing the word being taught, and by reading your Bible, not merely as a record of the past, but as a revelation of what can happen in the present. When we have faith and live our life in obedience. But in the meantime, all you have to do is use the faith that you have. Because Jesus declared, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you can say unto that sycamore tree, he said, "Be removed and cast into the sea," and it should obey you. Bottom line, your faith and my faith may not be as great as it should be, but it can and will become greater if we use the faith that we have by clinging to and standing on the promises of God. Because the Bible contains many promises of God. And so if you can find these promises that come to us through studying of the word and hearing the word of God and trust in them, we'll be able to develop a greater faith. Because throughout our experiences, as God proves himself trustworthy, our faith in him will increase with the passing of time. As the songwriter say, my trials come only to make me strong, because through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus, and I've learned to trust in the Lord. And so as I try to move to the close, I told you it wouldn't be too long. One day, Jesus and the disciples got into a boat, and Jesus said, let us cross over to the other side of the lake. And as they started out on that journey, while they were sailing across the lake, Jesus, no doubt being exhausted, he fell asleep. And suddenly a windstorm struck, and the boat began taking on water, and it began to sink. Frantic disciples finding themselves in danger and fearing that they would lose their lives, they ran to Jesus and said, Master, oh Master, we are about to drown. And Jesus got up from a deep sleep, and he ordered the winds and the waves to stop, and everything became calm. And then Jesus turned to his disciples and said, where is your faith? My brothers and sisters, I believe all of us this morning need to examine our faith. Is it a misplaced faith, meaning you're putting your confidence in something less than the living Lord who commands the winds and the waves to cease, to hush up and behave? If so, you will experience disappointment in life, because when we are caught in the storms of life that many times comes in our lives unexpectedly, it's easy to panic and think that the God has lost control and that we are at the mercy of the wind and of fate. But in reality, I tell you, God is sovereign. And not only does he control the history of the world, but he also controls each of our destinies. Because just as Jesus calmed the waves of the sea, he can calm whatever storm that's raging in your life. And that's why we must put our confidence and our trust in God, and use the faith that we have, and pray that the Lord will give us greater faith. As we obey his word and study his word, we will experience his blessing and discover that our faith is a growing faith. So in closing, come what may, we got to trust in the Lord by acknowledging him in all our ways, and he promises to direct our path. Just keep your eyes on the prize by looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Thank God, all right, who endured the cross and despised the shame. Now he's sitting down on the right hand of the throne of God. He's waiting for that time when time that has been, it won't be no more, when Jesus will step out of the office of Redeemer, and he's gonna step into the bosom of the Father. And about that time, he will become all in all. I don't know about you, but when he called my name, I hope to answer. I want to hear the Lord sing, servant, oh servant, well done. Where is your faith this morning? I want you to know that same Jesus who died for us, that same Jesus who rose from the grave, that same Jesus who went back to glory, he's coming back again. Ain't God all right?
And just like the wind that came up unexpectedly, I hear Jesus saying, behold, I come quickly, and my reward, it remains according to his word. Ain't God all right? Are you ready this morning? Are you ready to meet your Lord? Yes, he's all right. I said he's all right.
Yeah.
He's all right. Reason I know that is all right, because I've tried him for myself. If you're lost this morning and don't know the Lord and the pardon of your sin, where is your faith? All you got to do is step out on faith by confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believing in your heart he raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. Because with the mouth, yes, the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. If you're here this morning and you went to the Lord and you made a mistake, and you asked the Lord to forgive you of your sin, but you're still crowded down by guilt, I need to tell you that the Lord, he will forgive. He said we confess our sins, he's faithful and he's just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Ain't God all right? I tell you, he's faithful. He said, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. In me you find rest for your soul. That's why we can cast all our cares on the Lord. Ain't God all right? I'm so glad I serve a living Savior. I'm so glad I serve one who's able, who has all power in heaven and earth in his hand. Ain't God all right? Have you tried him for yourself? Do you know him as your Savior? If you know he's all right, why don't you just say yes? Say yes. Yes. Where's your faith? Where is your faith? So many people walking around with your head down. Just left the choir saying, I trust with the Lord, but yet you got your head down because of a problem in life. Where is your faith? That faith needs to have some action. Not just sing about it. We got to trust in God. And the same God who has power to control the wind and the rain. He can control the storm that comes into our lives. And then he can give us peace that passes all understanding. At this moment, I'm going to ask everybody to stand. As you stand, we extend the invitation. There may be somebody here this morning who would like to come and get on the Lord's side. That may be somebody. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. That may be somebody else. Would like to come and get on the Lord's side. All you got to do is take a step of faith and believe in your heart that the Lord will save you. And I guarantee you, Savior, the reason I know, I'm not talking about what I heard, I'm talking about what I know, because one day I came. Doesn't matter what you've done or where you come from, Jesus is able to save us to the uttermost. All you got to do is trust in him. Maybe you are here and fell by the wayside. We call that backslide. You've been in church for a while, but somewhere along the line, you got caught up back out in the world, and you haven't been to church, you haven't been served the Lord, and you should. This invitation to you also, that you can come and rededicate your life unto the Lord. And As I always say, this invitation is not just for you to join this church, but it's about if you're lost, being saved. If you're out of the fellowship, come being restored back to the fellowship. And then we will get with, if you want to go back